we are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. So personally, coming off of another winning show on Friday, starting to sound like a broken record. The season's going pretty good, so we're going to try to bring that winning energy into today, where we have a lot to cover all over this Monday night football game, a couple NFL-related topics. Then, second half of the show, Brad Powers will be by with a couple of early looks and to discuss a couple topics in the world of college football. So the past couple of Mondays, I came on here bragging about my Miami Dolphins. I will not be doing that this week. I'll have to take a week off from that, and we'll see how they make up this weekend versus the Giants. But we do have a lot to get into here. Kind of an interesting looking Monday night football game, a tight spread, maybe the makings of a fun game here. So my first guest, if you know anything about me, you probably know this guy. The sports betting content world has tried to keep us apart, but they cannot do it any longer. Let's bring him in here. A little reunion with my guy, Ian McMillan from BetSideIt. Ian in New York City, Mr. Big City fella. So, Ian, we haven't been in touch lately. So, two questions. How's the football season treating you so far, and how's your personal life going? Girlfriend still have you sleeping on the futon or what?
Yeah, still sleeping on the futon every night, Joe. No, but the football season's going well. I am still up money. Now, I'm not up a ton of money, but I am up money. So if you're not losing, you're winning in betting. So so far, so good.
Yeah, if you're not losing, you're winning. Whenever I get a push, I actually consider that a win because I didn't lose, right? So before we get into the picks here, Ian, one of your favorite pieces of content to do is labeling who the biggest frauds are in a specific league. And I know you rank who the biggest frauds are in the NFL. So give us a little bit of a taste here. Almost done with week four. Who's the biggest fraud in the NFL so far this season?
The biggest fraud is the Dallas Cowboys, and it's not even close. This team, when you look at them statistically, they have not actually performed well whatsoever. If anyone watches or listens to any of my content, you know that I like net yards per play. They're a very above average team in net yards per play. But week after week, 3 out of 4 weeks so far, they keep finding ways to score defensive touchdowns and special teams touchdowns, which is not sustainable in the long term. What happened when they had a game where they didn't score defensive touchdowns and special teams touchdowns? They lost to the Cardinals. So the Dallas Cowboys, as of right now, things could always change as the season goes on, but right now the Dallas Cowboys are the biggest fraud in the National Football League.
Yeah, a bit of a bold take there. I'm no Cowboys fan by any means. A great regular season team over the years, but we know what happens to Dallas in a tight spot in the playoffs. You cannot trust Big Mike and you cannot trust Dak. Okay, that's enough Cowboys talk for now, Ian. Let's get into this Monday night football game. We each have two picks, pick on the total, and we'll take a trip to Prop City. I'm going to get things started here for us. My best bet for Seahawks Giants, give me under 47.5 points. So I don't think either offensive line can be trusted to help prolong drives. I think we're going to see a lot of punting in this game. Seattle is allowing the most pressure per drop back in the NFL, and they could be in trouble versus a very blitz-heavy Giants team. The Giants' offensive line, they're allowing the fifth most pressure so far this season. Additionally, Seattle 31st in third-down conversion percentage. The Giants having a lot of trouble moving the football, 30th in yards per play. Seattle's rush D actually is pretty good. They're tied for first in yards allowed per rush, so expect to see that set up. A lot of longer third-down attempts for the Giants. Both teams struggled to move the ball when they met last season in week 8, just 3.5 and 4.5 yards per play. They combined for just 40 points in that game. Notably, they went just 9 for 29 combined on third downs. And you know, I'm always coming with some sort of trend here. I love this one. A lot of low scoring games here for the Giants at home. Going back a couple seasons now, the under 16-4-2 in their last 22. Home game. So give me under 47.5. So we bring Ian back in, the first time I have him on my new show here at Covers, and Ian is going against me. You like the over in this game. Break it down. Tell us why.
Yeah, good old-fashioned head-to-head here, Joe. We're going to be on opposite sides here. I like the over in this spot. I think the Seahawks generally are going to be a good over team this year. I bet them to hit the over last week against the Panthers. I'm betting them to hit the over again this week because they are a team that has a good offense but a bad defense, gaining 5.4 yards per play on offense, giving up 5.6 yards per play on defense. Now, the run defense is very good, but especially with Saquon Barkley out, I don't think they're really going to run the ball a whole lot. I think they're going to be able to attack this Seahawks team through the air. So that is what I expect. I think the Giants offense will have a little bit of a bounce back week, specifically through the air. And then obviously we all know how good the Seahawks offense is, or at least the weapons that they have offensively, and they get to take on a Giants defense, which has not been good all year. So opposite sides for us, Joe, I like the over. A lot more fun bet to place for a Monday Night Football game as well.
Yeah, that's true, if you're betting for fun, I suppose. So we will agree to disagree on that one. May the best man win on tonight's total. Let's take a trip to Prop City. Hopefully we can each hit on these ones. I'm going to take Geno Smith to go over his rushing yard total, 12.5 over at FanDuel here this morning. And we are buying low on this number of 12.5. Now, he's only topped this number once this season, but he did average 21.5 rushing yards per game last season. He had at least 13 in 13 of the 17 games last season. I think heavy blitzing could force him out of the pocket. In this one, the Giants are blitzing at the second highest percentage in the NFL so far. He could be running for his life with one of the worst offensive lines in the league in front of him. And it might just take one run for him to go over this number. He has 12 rushes of 13 or more since the start of last season. So give me Geno to go over his rushing yard total. Ian, you are targeting another rushing yard prop. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go under for Matt Breida, the Giants running back here. We already talked about how good the Seahawks are at stopping the run, specifically heading into this game, second in the NFL in opponent yards per carry through the first 3 weeks, giving up just 2.9 yards per rush. And this is a player who last week with Saquon Barkley out of the lineup carried the ball just 4 times for 17 yards. Now, obviously, they were in a negative game script immediately against the 49ers. I expect him to at least have more carries this game, but with his rushing yards total set at 43.5, I think that's a very high number, especially going against a very good Seahawks defense. So if the Giants are smart, I think they should stick to throwing the ball. That's going to hurt Matt Breida. I'll take under 43.5 rushing yards for him.
Yeah, I was kind of confused by that number as well. Seems a bit high, so good luck to Ian on that one. So let's kick around a couple topics here. Before we do that, though, guys, quick reminder, if you like the show, it's easy to let us know. Just hit the like button right there and there. And that, see our fancy subscribe graphic there, Ian? That, pull that yes. back up there, ooh, producer, ooh. Mick. Very fancy. We spent a lot of money on that. So we go to the well on that quite often. So if you like sports betting, make sure you subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. Lots of great content here. So let's kick around a couple of topics here. We play a couple of games on the show every Monday. Ian, the first game is a futures bet to make today. So Ian and I each have a futures bet that we recommend placing today. I'm going to start with the Houston Texans to win the AFC South, plus 480 odds on the Houston Texans. So they, along with the rest of their division, they're all 2-2, but the Texans have the longest odds out of the four teams in the division. I think this is mainly based on what they've done in past years. This year, they've been pretty fantastic, especially the last two games. They have some serious momentum going back-to-back blowout wins over respected teams in the Jaguars and the Steelers. They beat the Jags in Jacksonville by 20. They beat Pittsburgh by 24, 6.5 yards per play for the Texans in that one. And here's a big one, though. Look at their schedule. Look who the Texans have coming up. Falcons, Saints, Panthers, Bucks, the Bengals, who might be bad. We're going to discuss that shortly. Cards, Broncos, Jets, and Colts. Meanwhile, the Jags have to play the Bills. They have to play in Pittsburgh. They have to play the 49ers. They have to play the Ravens. Texans don't have to play those teams. C.J. Stroud playing great football. No interceptions through four games. That's probably unheard of for a rookie. Over 300 passing yards per game. The offensive line is figuring it out. He hasn't been sacked in back-to-back games. So, yeah, why not? A one-unit bet on the Texans? A plus 480? What do you think of that bet, Ian? And what do you think of the Jaguars? Maybe a little bit underwhelming to start the season.
Yeah, I do like that bet. The Texans do have to play one of the best teams in the NFL this week in the Atlanta Falcons, though. So it might be a loss for them this week. So you might want to hold off until next week to bet the Texans to win the division. But overall, yeah, I think the AFC South is pretty wide open. So I do like that bet quite a bit. My futures bet that I like today, and I absolutely love this, and it's for a team that has underperformed so far this season to bounce back and make the playoffs. It is the Minnesota Vikings to make the playoffs at plus 210. I talk about net yards per play all the time. It doesn't tell the whole story, obviously. It doesn't talk about turnovers, third down efficiency, red zone efficiency, things like that. But the Vikings, despite being 1-3, fifth in the NFL in net yards per play as of this morning at plus 1.2. Only the Dolphins, 49ers, Ravens, and Lions rank higher than them in net yards per play. Now, they do have a little bit of a tough schedule the next 3 weeks, at least two of the three games. They got the Chiefs, Bears, and 49ers. But then after that, the Vikings schedule opens way up. They got the Packers, Falcons, Saints, Broncos, Bears again, Raiders, Bengals, and then Lions, Packers, Lions. So the second half of their schedule is significantly easier from the first half of their schedule. So they're going to get the hard part of their schedule out of the way and then go and put together a string of wins. And also, let's not forget, I mean, the team sitting in the final wildcard spot in the NFC right now is the 2-2 Atlanta Falcons, my 2-2 Atlanta Falcons. But my point is, they're one game back from the team that's sitting in the last wildcard spot, but yet they're plus 210 to make the playoffs with having one of the easiest second half schedules in the entire NFL. And with the fact they've been actually playing very well, except struggling to win a few of those close games early in the year. So Vikings to make the playoffs, a little over 2-1. Love that bet right now.
Okay, way too many Falcons positivity mentions from Ian here through we've only been on here for about 11, 12 minutes. So let's move to our next topic here. And I have that one that's very close to your heart and one that I told you that we would be doing. But it's a little game that we call Do They Actually Suck? Yes. The first week, I think we discussed the New York Giants after they lost 40-0. And we discussed Sean Payton and a few others, the Chargers we threw in there. Jury's still out on a few of those, but I have two of them. So we're going to discuss the Bengals momentarily, but I think that there's a good case, Ian, that the head coach of your Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Smith, actually sucks.
Oh.
13 total points scored by the Falcons in their last two games. I thought this was supposed to be some sort of offensive-minded head coach to give this guy all the toys in the world year after year. They're picking high offensive skill players at the top of the draft, and you can't do anything with them. Kyle Pitts, this was supposed to be some type of big time tight end. He's practically invisible out there. Drake London hasn't topped 66 receiving yards in game this season. He has just one 100 yard receiving game in his career. Backfield absolutely stacked, yet they rank 26 in yards per play so far this season, Ian. I think this guy's running out of excuses. I think the seat could get pretty hot. Just 13 points in the last two games. Do you think Arthur Smith sucks?
No, I don't think it's Arthur Smith. I think it's Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder is missing open receivers. Kyle Pitts is open all the time. He's overthrowing him, underthrowing him. I think it's more on Desmond Ridder. I think you can have as good of a run game as you want, but at the end of the day, if your quarterback doesn't make the few key throws per game that he has to make, or even this past weekend has a few bad turnovers that kind of cost you the game, then that's going to hurt. In order to have an effective running game, you need a quarterback to be able to make the throws when he needs to make them and not turn the ball over. I thought Desmond Ridder was that guy. He has proven the past couple weeks he might not be that guy. So no, I don't think Arthur Smith sucks. I think he's implementing a system. He just still needs to figure out the right ways and the right players to use in certain situations. So I'm still in on Arthur Smith.
He's been implementing a system for over 2 years now.
Let's not forget, the Falcons' defense has actually been very good through the first 4 weeks. Everyone wants to talk about how bad their offense is. Sure, their defense has been very good. So you got to give Arthur Smith credit for their defense. This is a completely revamped defensive unit.
I haven't really played anyone, but I guess we'll give him a pat on the back for that. Okay, on to topic number two for Do They Actually Suck? And this is going to be a popular one this week wherever you consume your sports media, betting or otherwise. Do the Cincinnati Bengals actually suck? So a 1-3 start to their season. That one win, it was on Monday Night Football this past week versus the Rams. They actually got outplayed in that game. The Rams won the yards per play battle. They had some bad luck in that one. A ball gets tipped at the line, gets intercepted for some reason. That Tutu Atwell touchdown got overturned. I didn't agree with that one. But two just awful losses for the Bengals here, where they scored just 3 points. And everyone's going to point towards the Joe Burrow injury. And, hey, maybe that is legitimate. But you can't blame that injury when you get absolutely lit up by the Tennessee Titans, who scored, what, 3 points the week before? They scored 27 against Cincinnati. And you dig into the stats, they are last in yards per play, 25th in yards per play allowed. They've been awful on both sides of the football. And check this out for them. So they have what might be considered a get-right game versus the Cardinals on deck here this week. But then they have Seattle. They still have to play the 49ers. They have to play the Bills. The Texans might be all right, as I pointed out. The Ravens, they play the Steelers. They play the Jags. They got a really tough schedule. So here's what I would advise for the Bengals, the team who, by the way, I picked to win the Super Bowl, and it's not going very well. Wait until they possibly beat the Cardinals here this week and then look to fade them in some way. Maybe take them not to make the playoffs. Maybe take the under on whatever their updated win total is, because this team is not good, and there's a possibility that they do, in fact, suck. Ian, do you think the Bengals suck?
I think they're bad. Yes. Right now they've sucked as a team. I don't think they'll play this bad for the rest of the season, but they have sucked, and they are, I think, generally a bad football team this year. And Joe, I'll tell you, actually this week against the Cardinals, I think I have to bet the Cardinals. Let me just quickly list off the bottom five teams in net yards per play, which for people who are watching who haven't or don't know what it is, it's yards you gain per play on offense, subtract yards given up per play on defense. Bottom five teams: Bears minus 1.1, Broncos minus 1.1, Steelers minus 1.1, Giants minus 1.3, still got to play tonight, obviously. And then in dead last, the Cincinnati Bengals minus 1.7. So not only are they last in net yards per play, they're last by a significant margin over the laughing stocks of the NFL in the Bears, the Broncos, and, you know, the Steelers and the Panthers. This team has been terrible. It hasn't just been offensively. It's been defensively as well. They lost their two best defensive players last year in Von Bell and Jesse Bates. So their defense has been bad. This is not just... You can't just say Joe Burrow's hurt, and that's why the entire team, offense, defense, special teams, coaching, is all sucked. It's one half injury that has not caused an entire team to implode. So, yeah, they have sucked. I think they will play a little bit better, but they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I picked them to win the Super Bowl there. It looks like you can rip that one up there. Yeah. Well, not quite yet. I mean, they have a bit of a reputation for getting off to bad starts, but they got a lot of big games coming up, like I pointed out, and they're going to have to win all of them, because that division that they're in is pretty tough. So, yeah, tough spot for the Bengals, and a lot of people blaming the offensive line. I look it up. They're not really providing or allowing a ton of pressure by any means. So I don't know, if Burrow's that injured, maybe he shouldn't be playing. I don't know. The team doesn't look very good. So taking a look ahead here to week five, Ian, a couple spots that stand out to me. Saints Patriots under 39. I absolutely love that. The Saints have gone under 13 of their last 14 games. A lot of those games haven't even crossed 33 points. So I think we actually got a little bit of breathing room here. Who knows who's going to start at quarterback for the Patriots? It looks like the wheels might be falling off here for New England. Why does New England stink all of a sudden over the past couple of years? What happened to that team? Oh, yeah, Tom Brady left. And Belichick is finding out that you can't just have a ton of bums on the roster and then, have a great season year after year. So I like that. The funniest game of the weekend, it's the Nathaniel Hackett revenge game, Ian. The Jets are in Denver. I kind of like the Jets +2.5. The Broncos, if you want to give them a pat on the back for that comeback win versus the Bears, you can do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm still not very impressed by the Broncos. And you call the Cowboys a fraud. I like the 49ers -3.5 versus Dallas there on Sunday Night Football. Yep. San Francisco just beating the living crap out of everybody so far this season. So I could see that pattern continuing on Sunday night. Any bets stand out to you on week five that you've already hit the click button on?
I like all three that you've already said, Joe. So we, even though we disagree tonight, we agree already on some week five matchups. One that I'm looking at, and this might end up being my upset pick of the week. I haven't locked in my bets yet. I might just take the points, though, and that's the Rams hosting the Eagles. I actually like the Rams a lot this year. I still think they're better than a lot of people think, even now. They're top 10. I think they're 8th in net yards per play so far. Their defense, especially stopping the run, has not been great this year, which could hurt them against the Eagles team. But this Eagles team still, even though they're 4-0, hasn't quite looked like the Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl last year. Still very good, still getting the job done. But last year, throughout the season, in terms of the metrics, they're like a top 1, 2, or 3 team in basically everything. This year, they're like 8, 9, 10 in almost everything. So, I mean, they could still get to that point, but I'm not 100% sold on the Eagles yet. So I like Rams getting points at home.
Ooh, baby, what a sweat on that Eagles teaser line yesterday. I really needed that one. So thankfully they did come through. But the Commanders absolutely gave them a game. Okay, Ian, before we let you out the door, tell us a little bit about where we can find your work and what you have going on this week.
Yeah, best place to do it is the Bacon Bets podcast. 272 NFL regular season games. I place a bet on every single one of them. It is the road to 272 bets. Each week's episode gets released first thing Tuesday morning. So when you wake up on Tuesday mornings, you'll get my best bets for every NFL game that week. So yeah, check out that. And you can see my written work over on FanSided. So FanSided and the Bacon Bets podcast.
Yeah, and you're looking pretty good, by the way. You ran a brush through your hair, a nice shirt. Have you lost some weight?
Lost a little bit of weight, still got more to lose, but yeah, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Wow, a rare compliment from Joe. Wow, what a day.
Go. Hey, I call him like I see him, and Ian is looking good. God damn it. All right, Ian, we thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully we can do it again sometime. Good luck with your bets. Not all of them tonight, because you're on the over, I'm on the under, but best of luck with your bets in week 5.
May the best man win, Joe. Thank you for having me on. Take care.
Yes, sir. There we go. All right. It was great having Ian on again. So that's our look at the NFL. Now let's switch gears over to college football. You know who we're bringing in here. Our guy, Brad Powers, down there in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, how you making out?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yes, sir. So two different picks to get into here for a couple spots to jump on early. But before we get into that, any big takeaways from this past weekend that bettors should consider going forward?
I think the biggest takeaway is, I mean, it continues to be the most wide open national title picture that we've seen in college football in the last 15 years. And that's not, you know, being a hot take there. It's just that's legitimate. Whether you look at a power rating, whether you look at performance, you name it. You got a Georgia team, the two-time defending champs, struggling with average SEC teams, so whether it's South Carolina or last week against Auburn, slow starts, down 10-0. I'm here to tell you, they get off the slow starts against better competition. Forget covering the spread. They're going to lose these games outright. So a very intriguing matchup this week against Kentucky, who was super impressive against Florida last week. Certainly surprised me, to say the least, that they dominated that game from start to finish. And then obviously we're going to talk about this game on Thursday's show, but one of the bigger games of the year so far, Texas-Oklahoma, to a battle of unbeatens. Oklahoma's covered the spread in every game so far this season, even though it's been against weak competition. They've been super impressive. So kind of the eye towards this weekend more than last week, and we didn't have a lot of super matchups. Although I'll say Notre Dame saved their season in the final minute there against Duke. That season really could have went sideways had they lost that game against the Blue Devils.
Yeah, so you touch on Georgia there, and certainly a little underwhelming maybe as the favorite this season. Not in the news a whole lot. Maybe that has to do with, you know, Colorado and all these big-time quarterbacks stealing the headlines. But take a look at Georgia. Do you think they're deserving of being the favorite to win the national championship, or do you think a lot of that's based on what they've done the past couple seasons?
That's a good question, Joe. Yeah, they deserve to be the favorite. I mean, mainly schedule dependent. I mean, they're going to be a significant favorite in all their remaining games. If we're just talking body of work, if I'm talking like an AP poll voter, I'm not sure I'd have number one. I think there's probably some more deserving teams. In fact, if Texas were to go out and beat Oklahoma, if I was an AP poll voter, I would vote Texas number one because it wins over Oklahoma and then on the road against Alabama. But yeah, the pathway, I mean, their toughest game is going to be this week against Kentucky, more than a 2-touchdown favorite, on the road against Tennessee, where they'll be more than a touchdown road favorite. So their pathway still leads them to deserve to have the shortest national title odds.
Okay, let's get into a couple of plays here, Brad. Let's start with Thursday night college football action. We have Louisiana Tech is taking on Western Kentucky. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I like the home underdog here. Louisiana Tech plus the 5.5. I made the line 4. So we always go to the power rating first and foremost. And mainly it's a play against Western Kentucky. I think it's one of the more overrated teams in the entire country. They sit here with a 3-2 record. But I'm here to tell you, I mean, they were very underwhelming. You know, the scoreboard says one thing. The box score says another in 4 of their 5 games. Statistically, number 122 in the country, yards per game differential. Statistically, number 108 in the country in yards per play differential. I mean, this is a team that has the stats of a team that's 1-4, 2-3, instead of a team with a winning record. So they go on the road, and I think they get, you know, provided they don't get much turnover luck like they've had in a lot of their games this year, I think they get exposed a little bit against the Louisiana Tech team.
Okay, next up, we have Fresno State, Wyoming, a 5.5-point spread. What side are you on in this one?
So let me talk big picture real quick here before I get into this individual game. You can see that I have two games that I've picked that have 5.5-point spreads. There's a reason behind that. We're early in the week. 5 is a very dead number in football. You got to anticipate market moves at this time of the week. So we're going to not only say value here, but also anticipating that we're going to get some closing line value because we're sitting on dead numbers and you know, it's not likely that these games are going to, you know, finish the week at 5.5. In this particular matchup with Fresno State, you know, I'm not wild about the road laying a lot of road favorites, but in this case I am. We're going to lay 5.5 with Fresno State, a team that's, you know, off a couple of tomato cans are sitting here unbeaten. I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, sneaky spot at Wyoming, look out. I mean, for the most part, I agree with that, but Fresno State's used to playing in Wyoming. It's not like a Texas Tech or an Appalachian State playing in Laramie for the first time in forever. The two teams that Wyoming pulled the outright upset earlier this season. And let's talk quickly about those games. Another couple phony finals for Wyoming. Texas Tech, not saying that Wyoming didn't deserve to cover the game, but Texas Tech missed 3 field goals in the game. Probably Texas Tech should have won the game in regulation. And on top of that, a couple weeks ago, App State, Wyoming wins the game. Probably didn't deserve to win the game. You know, App State's lining up for a field goal in the final 2 minutes to seal the game. Wyoming blocks it and returns it for a touchdown. The first blocked field goal return for a touchdown in the history of Wyoming football allows them to escape with a 3-point win in that one. So you look at Wyoming statistically, outgained by 60 yards per game on the season. That is a team that should be 2-3, not 4-1. So because of that, I think we have some value. And I'm not a big guy in series history, but my goodness, I don't see a pathway for much success here against Wyoming. I don't think that they really match up well against Fresno State. And if you don't believe me, the last 2 years, these two teams have played cumulative score. Fresno State 47, Wyoming 0. We're going to lay the 5.5 here with Fresno State.
Wow, yeah. Okay, that looks like a good spot. So one last question here. The past couple of times you've been on, we've been getting some betting advice from you. Now, a lot of sharper sports bettors, they completely advise against doing teasers in college football. I like doing them in the NFL, but people just advise doing them in college. What's your stance on teasing college football games?
It is one of the biggest no-nos there is. Do not tease college football ever. There's only one time where I would say it's okay to tease college football, and it's one particular game every year, the Army-Navy game, because it's such a suppressed scoring, low total. There's not a lot of variance. The teams know each other. It's not like all of a sudden Navy wins the game 42-0 out of nowhere. That is the only game I would ever considering teasing because of a supremely low total. And usually a point spread that's sitting a touchdown or less. So don't tease college football. Just don't do it. Love NFL teasers when I can get the right price, the long teasers. But, man, in college football, there's just way too much variance to be profitable long term.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So I will avoid doing that. And we recommend you avoid doing that as well. So we thank Brad for joining us. Brad will be right back with us here on Thursday's edition of Before You Bet, where we take a look at the biggest games of the weekend. Brad, thank you for joining us. And good luck with your research until we see you on Thursday. Yes, sir. All right, that does it. But one last thing that we got to do. I keep forgetting to do this. My producer on the show Mick, he makes these lovely recap graphics to recap the picks that we gave out off the top of the show. And I always forget to do them, and he always gets very angry with me. So on my little script I have over here, I wrote recap in big, bold letters, and I highlighted it in yellow. So recapping my plays for today, if you're just tuning into the show for Monday Night Football, I like under 47.5. I don't think either offensive line is very good. The Giants offense having a lot of trouble in general. 12 points scored in one game, zero in another. Seahawks having a really hard time converting on third down. So I think we're going to see a lot of punting in that one. And Geno Smith over 12.5 rushing yards. Like I said, I think we're buying low on that one. He did average 21.5 last season. He's not getting good protection from his offensive line. The Giants are a very blitz heavy team. So I think he's going to be forced out of the pocket, and hopefully he can hit that one early for us. Okay. That does it for the Monday edition. Before you bet, guys, if you like the show, do me a favor, hit that like button right down there. And while you're at it, there's a subscribe button right down there as well. A lot of great content on the Covers YouTube channel, covering everything that there is to cover in the world of sports betting. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We'll see you on Thursday. Woo!